Spring has sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save big money at Menards.
It's a football. It's a football.
If you don't know football, you shouldn't be with a microphone in your hand.
Hello and welcome to Soccer Sense, the sensible football podcast where we have stopped serving liquor to the wait for Arsenal's Premier League win because it is now officially younger than 22 years. This is Tariq joining you along with a very special guest this week to break down Arsenal's title run and the season and grace us with some personal anecdotes on what's been happening with his journey with Arsenal, which I think is almost as long as this Arsenal journey to the Premier League since their last win in 2004. So welcome back to the pod. Currently in between jobs, sports journalist, much like Pep Guardiola, looking for the next big adventure and assignment. And current and forever Arsenal fan, Vinayak. Hi, Vinayak. Welcome back to the pod. So great to have you back already.
Wow. That's some intro. Pep is a great position to be in, I guess, to be in the same position as Pep, not knowing what next. So I guess I share that with him. So that's cool. Forever Arsenal fan. Yeah, that feels like forever. And at one point of time, I wasn't sure whether it will carry on beyond the season. So nice to know that such sort of ultimatums do work. And Arsenal has given us a title to celebrate after 22 years. So thank you for having me here, Tariq, as promised. Even between jobs or within jobs or whatever, I told you I'd be here the day or two after Arsenal won the title. So here
we are. So yes, and I should mention to listeners that I think about 4 weeks ago, I said, I am booking your time on the pod for the title special. And Vinayak said, if this ends up being the jinx that does not result in a title, we'll have to reevaluate the friendship. The friendship very narrowly survived because I think this was during the week when Arsenal had dropped points and City had briefly gone to the top of the table. But obviously, eventually, all of that did not matter. But first, let's get onto the technical side of things, and then we'll come on to the personal side of things or the philosophical side of things. Quite a season for Arsenal, considering that they won the title with about 85 points. It was one of those seasons where it actually appeared difficult throughout the table. There are teams which have been stuck in mid-table at 40, 45 points or thereabouts, which does show that this was a league of attrition. So your thoughts on the entire journey, and obviously there has been talk about the style with which is awarded, or there have been criticism about things like those. And as always at Soccer Sense, our job is to separate the sense from the chef. So so your thoughts on the campaign?
It's overall a very strange Premier League season to look back, right? Let's say maybe in 10 years' time, we go through what happened in 25, 26 and look at the Premier League table, for example, right? Of course, the headline would be that Arsenal's 22-year wait ended and all that. So that won't be forgotten. But the table itself reads a little strangely, right? Arsenal finished on 85, which is a decent number. I mean, there have been higher tallies to win the Premier League, of course. But City, second place, 7 points behind. That is a little exaggerated because of the final day defeat for City against Villa at home. I mean, it didn't really matter. There's a strange team that they put out and all that. But 7 points is eventually, like, you would think it was okay. It wasn't that bad. And even when you think about it, Arsenal led the season, majority of the time, 75-80%, like, I forgot the number of days, but at one point, it was a 9-point lead, but there was also always a strange sense that it's 9 points, but it's not exactly nine because City have a game in hand. City still have to play Arsenal in that Etihad. So make that six. And Deep spoken about that too at one point, I remember. Like you said, hey, Congrats. It looks like the title is nearly yours. But I said, no, it's you never know with Arsenal. And it kind of exactly panned out that way for the last few weeks. I mean, Arsenal go to Etihad, drop points. City briefly take over the top of the table on goal difference. Then it looks like it's going to come down to who's going to score the most number of goals in the last 3, 4 weeks. And then suddenly City collapse again. City go and draw at Everton. Thank you, David Moyes. City go and draw at Bournemouth. Thank you, Iraola and Antonio Iraola. So all these things happen. So eventually, it's like a very strange season where it was a two-horse race for the most part. And even in that, Arsenal had such a good lead, but it never felt comfortable. It's just, I mean, I've not seen such a strange sort of Premier League season in a long time. Of course, it's also because Arsenal ended up winning the title, so that in itself is strange. So, yeah, like you said, it's one of those, one of those very, very weird seasons to make sense of. And not to rub salt into your wounds or anything, but it's probably one of the worst title defenses I've seen in a long time by a team.
I
Liverpool were never really in
was
the picture.
I was about to bring that up in the sense that I was about to say that the season has been so strange that Liverpool were at off the table for 6 weeks. At
Oh, yeah, right. At the beginning, after that, supposed to
that
be a free kick, yeah.
time, and that was including a win against Arsenal. Of course, Liverpool eventually ending up with a 24-point differential from what they got last season, which places them at the bottom of the points differential table.
Oh, really? I didn't know
Obviously,
that. That's kind of says something,
so I
yeah.
think statistically also one of the worst title defenses that you could see, which of course brings us to Arsenal as a team itself. Incidentally, and again, you probably followed the season closer than I have as a fan. There did not seem to be sort of standout individual performers who were really taking Arsenal along. It seemed like a truly team effort in terms of different people chipping in at different points. Bar maybe if you do want to talk about somebody who's been there all season and has been very key to the win, it's probably David Raya
Hundred percent,
with the clean sheets. But then it has been a rotating cast of characters for because of injuries. I think they had the second most number of injuries in the entire season, and obviously many other things. Even Mikel Arteta playing around with the format approach and so on. So your thoughts on Arteta's approach and tactics?
yeah. So I honestly like what he said, right? We don't have a 20 plus goal scorer for the season in Premier League at least. Victor Gyokeres has 20 plus for the season in all competitions, but he's our top scorer in the league with 14. That's not a number that you would typically associate with a title winning league centre forward, but he's chipped in when it's necessary. And I think this is something that probably Arteta figured out maybe two, three seasons ago. Arsenal have not really been the side which has that one out-and-out goal scorer. Maybe 2 years ago, we had Saka in prime form. And even he wasn't like scoring goals for fun every week or whatever. Like, we didn't have a Salah or we didn't have an Haaland. That's never had that sort of player under Arteta, probably since Aubameyang left. So, yeah, so that what you said makes perfect sense. Like, Gyokeres is the leading goal scorer in the Premier League with 14 goals. The next best is Saka and Eze, who both miss good chunks of seasons with 7 goals each. The goals have been shared around like very significantly between a lot of people. 14 and 7, if those are the top two numbers for your goal scorers of the season, that kind of tells you where how the load sharing has been. And even when you look at assists, right? I mean, you don't have a Bruno Fernandes. I mean, if Odegaard has been fit, had way through, he missed a good chunk because of his injury. Those two guys had like 10 plus asset seasons. That would have, okay. So we had a creator, we had a central force, and we didn't even have that. Trossard and Odegaard, and those two are the joint assist makers in the Premier League with 6 this season. And where is that compared to Bruno's 21, right? So we didn't have that sort of, like you said, like if you had to actually pick one really standout performer, that had to be David Raya. And the centre backs, you could make a case, but even they were not like playing all the matches. Like Gabriel and Saliba are probably the backbone. These three are the backbone on which the league season has been built on. I think so. And Raya's, I mean, my vote for player of the season for Arsenal at least, there's David Raya. I would have made a case for him being a Premier League player of the season, but apparently that is
Right,
Bruno for his 21 assists that
like
took
7
United
point.
to the summit of the third place with 71 points.
Because like someone pointed out that
Apparently that's important.
I think Peter Schmeichel was the player of the season in 98-99,
Right.
and he
Yeah.
had the same number of, or I think one fewer clean sheets than Raya did. So almost an equally important contender out here. So moving away from the technical Vinayak onto the personal, because the last time we got you on the pod, which was 10 years ago, we were discussing about the looming exit of Arsene Wenger, Arsenal entering into this new era, having to reinvent themselves in the
Yeah.
age of the coming of Pep Guardiola to Manchester City, and of course Klopp to Liverpool, and all of these newfangled things happening around Chelsea being Chelsea, and all the noise around Manchester United, etc., etc. What has your sort of personal journey been? So firstly, actually tell us about the circumstances under which you found out about the title win.
Yeah, so I was in Thailand for my vacation last week at the time of this recording. So I was hoping that, like, I mean, when I booked the tickets, I just booked like to and fro, and then I didn't really like plan for when I'm going to be where for Arsenal matches. And that I knew I was going to be back before 24th. That was the only criteria that I had. Like, I had to be here back in Chennai or wherever, Chennai or Trichy, home, wherever, for the last day of the season. That was my only plan. So I didn't really plan for the previous matches, because at the point of booking my tickets to Thailand, I had no idea that City were going to not take it to the last day of the season. Like, I was almost convinced that it was going to go to the last day, and I was almost convinced that City were going to win. So all these like nitty-gritties didn't really figure into my planning, but as it turned out, I was in an island called Koh Samet, which is a few hours away from Bangkok and then off the mainland of Thailand. No, nothing works after like 10, 11 in the night. It's not like, I mean, it's still Thailand, but it's not like the 24 by 7 Thailand that we know and I've read about. Honestly, in Bangkok and Pattaya, both places, I saw a lot of Premier League banners, actually. Liverpool flags everywhere, City
Yeah.
fans, a lot of City fans. I, in fact, saw the City Chelsea FA Cup final in Walking Street in Pattaya. I don't know how many people go to Walking Street to watch a football match. So, but yeah, so that's where I saw the FA Cup final. That was actually quite like a proper bar with sports fans, and that was quite interesting. So clearly, Thailand had a big Premier League like influence. A lot of shops where you see the main Premier League jerseys, Liverpool in the front, even Spurs and City and whatever. So that I could see that Thailand actually had a big Premier League. I've heard about this as well. That it has a big Premier League or a football fanatic system. But I was not in one of those centers. I was in an island where really nothing was. And this was like the Arsenal Burnley game, I remember, was at 2 a.m. kickoff. Like, I'm in India and my friends make fun of me for, how do you watch these Champions League matches waking up at 1:30 and it goes on till 3:30. It's you and I know, right? I mean, it's part of our ritual, but I mean, staying up midweek late night is not exactly everyone's cup of tea. People mostly get up and watch highlights and whatever. But I work late, I wake up late, I sleep late. So it's now part of my body cycle almost to be awake late in the night. But 2 a.m. kickoff is something that I've never been used to. So that was weird to just stay up for Arsenal Burnley. That was a big, big chore that night. And I mean, as usual, it was a fascinating 1-0 win against a team that has already been relegated. So
Yeah, but
that was, yeah.
I think teams found it difficult against Burnley. I think even Manchester City also, but they got an early goal against them, which kind of I think saved them there. Might have been
True, true,
difficult.
actually, right. Yeah, I mean, that just shows you it's just Premier League. I mean, last year, you've seen it. I mean, it's just there are no easy games in Premier League. I don't know what, like, I mean, the general consequence, like the feeling in Europe about, like, English people think too much about their own league and all that. But even watching from far out, that nothing, no other league really comes close to in terms of the competition, the grind to win each and every single match. Nothing quite matches the Premier League. I mean, I can watch for that. So again, like watching Arsenal versus Burnley at 4 a.m. Not so second. I mean, it was a very beautiful island, but yeah, like in the middle of nowhere was not exactly planned, but so it happened. And the next day, I mean, I wasn't really going to stay up at 2 a.m. again to watch City Bournemouth and then City pass Bournemouth to death with, 80% possession and winning 1-0. Wasn't really ready for that. So I kept my phone alarm at 2 a.m., which was half time, and then 3 a.m., which was full time. So those were the two alarms that I had kept. And I had bought myself one beer just for that night in case, like, I wake up in the middle of, like, it was all very, like, okay, let's at least be ready for some sort of celebration, even though it might be ginseng. So 2 a.m., I wake up, City are trailing 1-0, and I'm like, okay, we've seen this movie before. City are probably going to turn it off in the second half, and I'm going to walk away with it. And then 80 minutes, it's 1-0 still. And then I switch on the stream, and my friends, like, the other two guys are in Europe. The three people that we watch, like, our Arsenal group, like, one of the guys is in Netherlands. Another guy is actually in London. He's a season ticket holder for Arsenal now. So these two guys are messaging me, tagging me, like, are you watching? Are you up? Like, I wake up at 80, it's still 1-0. And then I sent them the Undertaker GIF, that one where Undertaker wakes up.
That
And
wakes
from So I sent them that GIF. And literally 2 minutes later, Bournemouth had like three one-on-one chances or two one-on-one chances where they could have easily been 2-0, 3-0 up, missed both of them. And then I was about to go to the small fridge and open a beer at 88 minutes, thinking now it's done. And then Haaland scores. And I'm saying all this to my friends, and they're like, shut up and go back to sleep. You are the reason we are losing this now. And then, yeah, so it was all very crazy. And then eventually it ended up being one of the greatest nights
So
ever in the middle of nowhere. So at 3 a.m., 3:30 a.m. Yeah.
I think that almost perfectly encapsulates the whole roller coaster ride that it has been, because it's been a 2-decade-plus ride for you personally with Arsenal. I think you wrote
Yeah.
a very lovely Substack post after the win, and I think the closing of it kind of just stayed with me, where you'd referenced Shawshank Redemption, and you said that for so many years it was the hope that killed. Today, hope is indeed a good thing, and as of this instance, it is alive and kicking. We'll link that for our listeners on the show notes. But more importantly, Vinayak, I mean, given that situation that you found yourself in, that away on an island, away from everything, and soaking this particular moment in after all these years, so. What's the roller coaster been like? Like you said, you almost came close to giving up at one point. Obviously, there has been a lot of both, I guess, frustration as well as a feeling of detachment, like you mentioned in the post as well. What is the feeling like now? Like, what does the renewed hope feel like, or when you're looking forward now to Arsenal go? I think there is a Champions League final, small matter of a Champions League final to be played yet. And of course, there is the next season and beyond to look forward to. So what thoughts are going through fan Vinayak, and what thoughts are going through the sports journalist Vinayak?
Yeah, I mean, it's 20 years of like almost like exclusively heartbreaks for a majority. I mean, yeah, the FA Cup happened, like a couple of FA Cup wins here and there. Special, like seeing Wenger winner trophy. Incidentally, with Arteta as captain, that was when the trophy drought ended after, I guess, what, 10 years, if I'm not wrong, that FA Cup win. And then to think that Arteta is now the guy who's led Arsenal back to the Premier League title. Funnily enough, I know a lot of people have been speaking about this, I think recently. If that 8-2 defeat at United had not happened, Wenger might not have signed Mikel Arteta and Per Mertesacker on the deadline day, that window. And one of them ended up heading the academy that gave us the likes of, Saka, Miles Lewis-Skelly, Emil Smith Rowe, now Max Dowman, Per Mertesacker, that is. And then the other guy ended up becoming a captain and then the coach. To lead Arsenal back to the Premier League title. It's how crazy the things have turned out in this sort of period where there have been more downs than ups. Honestly, though, like we have to give props to Arteta for just not like letting all that sort of talk of three consecutive second place finishes bog him down. If anything, I think you briefly mentioned this at the start of the pod, the technical aspect of it. I honestly enjoyed watching Arsenal's football more in Arteta's, like, the 3 second place
finished season, so to speak. I mean, of course, the disappointment of not winning the title was there hugely, but the football itself was probably much more, I wouldn't say prettier, but much more, flowing than what it was this season. Maybe that those second place finishes actually played a part in how Arteta sort of fixed Arsenal's structure, made sure that, they're more focused on not conceding than scoring. It was actually quite interesting that one of those wins after the City defeat was like when the period I spoke about, like, goal difference now becoming part of the equation. Then suddenly Arsenal turned up the slight and the style and beat Fulham 3-0 at
Yeah,
Emirates. And then City, then they went 1-0 again. It's like
that
it's
Fulham result in my book was what turned it around, if you ask me, because I think I mentioned to somebody that Arsenal had been grinding out those 1-0 wins and shaky wins. They had not scored more than two goals, I think, for a long, long time. And then they suddenly turn up and beat Fulham 3-0.
Yeah, and that then, like I was about to say, like after that they went back to 1-0 again against Burnley and West Ham. It's like Arteta was content on doing what was necessary. It wasn't always pretty, and obviously there's a title that is built on defense mostly, and that kind of like where to the to answer the question that you asked about, like where next? Immediately in the short-term future, 4 days, what, 5 days left for the Champions League final. That actually gives me a little bit of hope, honestly speaking, right? In a one-off Champions League final, it was maybe two legs, like last year we saw against PSG, the Arsenal PSG match in the semi-finals. Over the two legs, I would actually make a case that Arsenal were
Let off lightly.
probably the better attacking team in some sense. Then Donnarumma had that crazy night at Emirates and PSG ended up winning it. And over two legs, it's hard to sort of nullify PSG's quality, but in a one-off game, I have a little bit of hope. Like, I mean, I go back to that word. Yeah, so it's that sort of defense that that Arsenal and Arteta have built on this season that kind of gives me a little bit of hope in a one-leg final. So yeah, that's where I'm at right now. You ask me if you're recording this on Friday, I'd probably give you a different answer. So
So, but at the same time, I think it also has been a season that has kind of tested fan discipline as well. That fans following an entire season, we often say on this pod, and generally people love to say that the season is a marathon, not a sprint. But as everybody knows, that marathons, it's very difficult to finish them in a dignified fashion most of the time. But the most critical element is that you do finish them, and that's probably what.
honestly, like we've been speaking about this actually in a couple of groups. Like, if you had told me in April, midway, like probably around the City game, that I just take you 1 month in advance and give you the result of the Premier League season and you don't have to go through all the matches, I would have taken it hands down. Like, I don't care whether we were winning 5-0, 6-0, or whatever. But at that point of time, it just, the stomach was in knots. Like, watching 2 hours of Premier League games felt like, wow, do I really need to go through this sort of thing every day, every weekend? It wasn't a palatable experience, honestly, towards the end there. But yeah, I mean, the winning feeling is wonderful, but to go through those last few weeks was just plain torture, honestly speaking. And I mean, I'm not talking about the style of football or anything, just the nature of the league and the contests with City and knowing what City are capable of. And yeah, to a little bit of extent, Arsenal's style of football too, like not making things easy for themselves, like 1-0s and like 50 saves. And even that West Ham match, my goodness, I'm not going to forget that West Ham match for a long time. The VAR, like, yeah.
That encapsulated, I guess, or in a microcosm, all of the drama. So, parting notes, Vinayak. It looks like from a fan perspective, it's much like what was happening in Godfather Part 3, where Michael Corleone says that just when you thought I was out, they pull me back in. So, parting thoughts for all the gunners out there as they get ready for what should be hopefully a new era, and it should be interesting because I've always been advocating somebody other than City or Liverpool to enter this title discussion, or Chelsea for that matter, primarily because I think the Premier League is richer for it.
Yeah, so it's in an interesting spot, right? And I think even Michael Owen and Patrick Weir and all were talking about this in the studio on the last day. on paper, if you see with Pep leaving, and I'm not sure if Pep leaving was on the cards probably 3 4 weeks back. Like, we'll probably never know the true story of whether he always intended to leave, or it was a case of now knowing that the Premier League is not there anymore that he wanted to leave. I'm not sure if he'll know the full story ever, the actual story, the true story ever. But now that Pep's gone, Arsenal, I mean, I shudder to think of this, but Arsenal are probably the favorites on paper entering the next season because of where the squad is right now. And, you know, 3 consecutive second places and finally getting the monkey off the back, and with a squad that is not likely to change too much over the summer, with the depth that we saw at multiple points of the season, like even during all the injuries that they had to face, they still had a decent sort of depth to manage most of it. Given all that, and now that Arteta is also figuring out how it is to win a title, I would say that like the other clubs have some catching up to do. I mean, this is not arrogance or anything. I hope it doesn't come across like that. But it's just the sort of the scenery that the Premier League finds itself in going into the new season is very interesting, because almost everyone else, right, is in some sort of transition. Like Liverpool is probably not transitioning, but I mean,
A
I
lot
know
of key players,
if,
a lot of key players gone, I
but
think.
I do know a few fans who would like Liverpool to be in transition rather than with Arne Slot. Maybe that's not to be for now. But yeah, like key players leaving, right? I mean, Salah, Robertson have been huge parts of the Liverpool setup. Them not being there, I mean, even honestly, what Slot is going to do? If will Liverpool be able to take a poor season start, like maybe 4 or 5 defeats in the first few weeks? Where does that leave Slot? Chelsea, horrible season, finishing 10th. Like, do they really have what it takes to compete for a title, irrespective of who's going to be managing them next year? United look decent under Carrick, but a caretaker role is one thing, a full season after a transfer window another. City, obviously, Maresca coming in. There is not going to be too much of a transition in terms of the style, perhaps. But even like Guardiola leaving, Bernardo leaving, those are two massive holes to fill, irrespective of where they find who they find in the market. So it's fascinating, right? It's leaving the Premier League in an interesting position, and Arsenal on paper are positioned well to make it a sustained sort of maybe 2 3 years of good run, if at least that, right? So I
Right.
see kind of them favorites next year. So, but yeah, short term Champions League is all that matters. Funnily enough, 2006, that was the first proper heartbreak that I had as an Arsenal fan, that Champions League night. Let's see what this Saturday night has in store. 20.
All right. So hopefully it has in store something interesting in Budapest at the least. And it's great that we made it through an entire Arsenal podcast without having to mention Tottenham Hotspur even once, which tells you how times have changed. But once again, congratulations, Vinayak, and to all the Gunners out there. Enjoy your title, and hopefully by the time this pod is out, perhaps something in the Champions League too. Thank you again, Vinayak, for joining us, and
Thank you so much, Tarek.
perhaps
Thanks for
this
the
will
chance.
be a recurring role now, hopefully, for
Let's see.
future special episodes where we talk more
Done, done.
Arsenal.
Yeah, I mean, if I have to speak to you more often because Arsenal are winning, then I mean, yeah, why not?
Right.
Maybe that's what is needed. Yeah.
And you can find our podcast on all places where good podcasts are found. The subscribe button is enclosed within Pep Guardiola's farewell letter, if you can find that. This is Tariq signing off along with Vinayak. See you guys next time.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save.